cue preacher. Take our Bibles tonight, if you would please, go to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. I appreciate the faithfulness of God's people being in the house of the Lord on Wednesday night. I assume you're here on Sunday mornings as well, Sunday nights. 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you have found your place there, let's go ahead and stand tonight. I want to read God's word. I'm just going to read one particular verse. Maybe a couple other places we will briefly attend to, but this one particular verse will be central in our thoughts this evening. For God, verse number 7, chapter number 1, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that's very important today. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll begin this evening. Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd help us now, that you'd add your blessing to the reading of your word. But Father, you would still our hearts. Lord, let's release the cares of the day. Let us discharge our thoughts for after service. And put us on an island, Lord, and surround us with the word of God. And help us to see thee and thee only. Lord, we help your people here tonight in this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May you be seated here this evening. Lieutenant General Lewis B. Chesty Puller was commanding the 1st Marine Division in the Korean conflict. At one particular moment during that conflict, he found himself surrounded by 22 Chinese divisions. His Marines' 1st Division had been cut off, unable for support to arrive at his destination. When his officers approached him and briefed him on the situation, his reply was, "They are in front of us, behind us, and we are flanked on both sides by an enemy that outnumbers us 29-1. Good. They can't get away from us now." And that philosophy encouraged his troops, enabled him to rally the 1st Marine Division, which fought their way back to friendly lines, and while doing so, totally annihilated 7 Chinese divisions and produced the highest casualty of the enemy ratio in U.S. history. As we look around today, our enemies are in front of us, they're behind us, they're on the left, and they're on the right. Good. They can't get away from us now. The difference is, are we going to succumb to fear, or are we going to rally for the cause of Christ? In our text verse here, verse number 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." I'm 62 years old. I've seen a little bit of history. In my lifetime, I've seen social norms change. I've seen Christians capitulate to the world around them. I have seen Americans in the last few months, and I blush to say it, I have seen Americans more scared in the last 3 months than at any time in my entire life. And I have to ask you, what in the world is going on? The most exercise I get today is by shaking my head in disbelief. I can't believe it. We are the nation that bolstered the Allied forces in World War I and carried the day in the Argonne Forest. We are the nation that fought at Guadalcanal, Iwo Jima, and 1,000 other places and carried the day and liberated nations. We are the nation that has survived and fought back terrorism. We have fought for the liberty of those enslaved on multiple continents. We have shed our blood. We have a rich history of patriotism, of colonialism. I was reminded as we were singing that particular hymn there, the last one that we sang that was written by Isaac Watts, that during the Revolutionary War, one of the chaplains who was a minister himself and was a leader of a regiment, when it came to a particular battle, his men were running out of wadding for their guns. Remember the old ramrods there? That minister rode to the local church, collected the hymn books, brought them back, and threw them at the feet of his men and says, "Give them Watts," referring to Isaac Watts. Rip the pages out of the hymn books and put it down the barrel and use it for wadding. And those men, I grew up with those stories, and I grew up with that patriotism and that little bit of a grit and a crawl. And I'm not saying walk around with a chip on your shoulder, but I'm saying good night. Whatever happened to manhood?
Amen.
Whatever happened to womanhood? Whatever happened to having a backbone? And most people have a wishbone now instead of a backbone. It begs the question, and I think it's apropos that we ask it, if God has not given us the spirit of fear, who has? Who has? Now don't run ahead of me. Because somebody say, well, the devil, you know, that forked tail, pitchfork, horns on his head, demon sometimes appearing as an angel of light, who's blinded the eyes of men, and, you know, Lucifer, old sooty face himself, out of the pits of hell. And it's the devil for sure, preacher, Brother Barnes. It's the devil for sure. I don't think so. I think the devil gets blamed for a lot of things, and rightfully so, but I don't think he's given us the spirit of fear half as much as the person in the mirror gives us the spirit of fear. You know, when Paul was writing to Timothy here, and most of you know this is his last will and testament. He's in Nero's court for the second time. He knows the end is near. He's writing here to young Timothy, and the theme of the book is stay faithful. The first part of the book is stay faithful to the word, and the last part of the book is stay faithful to the work. The last half is stay faithful to the word. You know, we ought to stay faithful to the work of Christ, and we ought to stay faithful to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. He deals with his past, he deals with the present, he deals with the future. You know, Timothy needed these words. If I understand correctly, in the book of Hebrews there, and it might have been Paul that wrote it, we can argue about that tonight, but at the end of the book of the Hebrews, Paul says Timothy has been set at liberty. In other words, Timothy himself had to have known some form of incarceration. There's not too many sitting here tonight that I know of, and I know most of you personally. Some of you, I may not want to know. I don't know. I just haven't decided yet. But there's not too many jailbirds sitting here tonight. Certainly not jailbirds because you was preaching the gospel and somebody came in and handcuffed you and took you into the court, and now you're in a dungeon cell somewhere and you was released. Paul had that on his resume multiple times. Well, we need a new pastor. Who should we hire? Well, let's hire Paul. That jailbird, that inmate, that felon, that carny, I mean, you know, just all these things that go along with, yeah, him. If God has not given us the spirit of fear, who has? If it's not the devil that's given us the spirit of fear, who has? I think I'm looking at it. And I think you're looking at me. I think when you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror, I think you're looking at the person that gives you most of the time the spirit of fear. Now, I don't recommend it. But if you watch the evening news, you're going to live in a constant state of fear. Or at least it's going to be there. You got a 30-minute newscast, 10 minutes of it is commercials. So now you're 20 minutes. 5 minutes is weather, and you can't believe them until you go out and look out the window yourself. So now you're down to 15 minutes. Out of the 15 minutes, 5 minutes of the news and 10 minutes of it is commentary. They're going to tell you what they want to tell you, and then they're going to tell you how to think about what they just tell you. So out of all the entire 50 states that we have, out of all the entire world that we have, we're going to take all the news and we're going to hand and cherry pick what we're going to show you, and we're going to show you 5 minutes of news, and we're going to tell you how to think about it for 10 minutes. Now, I don't recommend that. There's multiple places you can get news. And you can filter for yourself. If you have an IQ bigger than your shoe size, you can figure things out on your own, amen. You don't need somebody else telling you how to think, unless it's me with the Word of God, amen. Just don't want to go too far with that. I don't recommend it. But if you buy the newspaper, and you're reading the editorial page, you can be living in confusion. As a termite in a yo-yo, just up and down, up and down, up and down. You're going to be on antidepressants. You're going to go in there and you're going to tell the psychologist all your problems. So at the end of the day, they jump out the window. Amen? You've got other sources for information. You don't need to imbibe yourself in the TV set and in the newspaper and in the publications that are on the newsstand and drink in what they're telling you. And no wonder you're living in fear all the time, and timidity, and trepidation, and you're concerned, and you're on the jitters, and you're on the you're nervous all the time. You're a nervous Nelly, and you're running around like a chicken little with his head cut off. You know, and the sky is falling. The sky is falling. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. God has not given us the spirit of fear.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying you need some type of false bravado and you need to whistle in the dark. I'm not saying that you need to have a temperament about you, that you're an ogre and you're going to have a chip on your shoulder and you're just going to make fun of everybody and everything that has some type of concern. But I'm saying the spirit of fear, Timothy, do not give in to this. You've got a work to do. You've got a world to reach. You are a Christian. And I'm not saying have your nose so far up in the air that if it rains you drown. But I'm saying at the same time, good night, set your shoulders, square your chin, walk with something of a strut, and say, bless God, I'm a child of God. I'm going to live like I'm a child of the King.
Amen.
Not somebody who's going to give in to the pandering of this nation that we're experiencing. And by the way, the good news is it's only going to get worse. You say, how do you know that? Chapter 3 says, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What should we do, Brother Bars? From such turn away. For some it means play. For some it means walk. For some it means unfollow. For some it means turn the deaf ear. You're going to have to pick the crowd you're going to run with. Now you're going to have to start picking sides. You're going to have to start choosing somewhere. You know, you just can't sit in middle ground all the time. Well, I'm just going to... I said, when this whole thing started, this pandemic, so-called, I said there's going to be men that are going to keep the churches open, there's going to be men that close their churches, and there's going to be men that are going to just wait and see. And now it seems like we've carried the day. Things are getting back somewhat to normal. And there's preachers out there saying, yeah, well, we're right with you all the time. Yeah, I know. I saw you with my binoculars behind me. Yeah, I saw that. Now, maybe they're wired different, you know. Maybe it took them a while to find the right purse to match their outfit. I don't know. But bless God, who gave us the spirit of fear? It wasn't God. And I'll tell you one thing, it's not going to be Janet Mills either. If you allow everybody, here's another thing I don't recommend. If you allow everybody on your social media page, and most people have them, if you allow, I've got 1,500 friends on my Facebook account. No, you don't, you idiot. What you have done is you've signed up for Drama of the Day Club. That's all you've done. You just want everybody to listen to your drama, and so you read that. Look, you know, when somebody friend requests me, and it's not everybody, but when somebody people friend request me, first thing I do is find out how many followers they have. If they've got 2,500 followers, well, you don't need one more. That ain't going to happen. You know, and I read down through their posts, and they're quoting the ESV and NIV and everything. No, that ain't going to happen either. They're off on some doctrinal issue, and they, you know, the world is flat. And there's preachers out there now, the world is flat. And it's like, man, you're that dumb. You know, you got to have some wisdom about yourself. If you're not going to give in to the spirit of fear, you've got to be of a mentality that says, you know, there's certain things that are going to want to make me afraid, and I don't want to be afraid. And so you just kind of eliminate them. There's Americans everywhere, afraid of everything. God has not given us the spirit of fear. It's not all the devil. I think a lot of it's just plain us. Go to Matthew chapter 6, if you would, for just a moment. Matthew chapter number 6. I think it's somewhat of human nature to fear. And I'm going to address that a little bit more as time allows. But in Matthew chapter 6, you know, Jesus saw this. They were honest questions. They were legitimate questions. But if you allow it, they can be paralyzing questions. In Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. You're going to have to pick, folks. You're going to have to choose which side you're going to play for. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, or what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Now why would he ask such a question? Because that's exactly what was stopping some people from serving Jesus Christ. Well, how are we going to eat? Where are we going to live? Well, what are we going to do for employment? You know, what's going to happen in this situation? Is God in heaven or not? Is he still on the throne? Can he serve up a happy meal? Now, maybe ramen noodles, but if you're hungry enough, that will be a happy meal. Amen. Can he put clothes on your back? Can he put shoes on your feet? But do we have a living God or don't we have a living God?
Amen.
Is he able to put food on the table? Is he able to put a roof over your head? Can he give you some shelter? Can he give you a job if you need it? Yes, he can. Why is he asking these questions? Because these are first and foremost in most people's minds. He says you cannot serve God and mammon. You're going to have to make up, decide which uniform you're going to wear. Behold the fowls of the air, verse 26. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? How many of us have lost weight in the last 12 weeks? And I'm not talking about on purpose. Maybe you're on a diet or something like that. I mean, how many of us have lost weight? Boy, I've just dropped 15 pounds because of this whole pandemic thing. No, what has happened? Most of us have become more roly-poly. Amen. We believe in buffeting the body. Where all that food come from? Hannaford? Walmart? Last time I knew, Hannaford didn't have a farm and Walmart didn't have a farm. Last time I knew, God put it there by his grace and gave you the ability to purchase it, bring it home and prepare it. 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Don't all of you men wish you were 6'5", 280 pounds, just brawn and lean and grit and muscle? You can't even add 1 inch to your height. 1 inch to your waist, maybe, but 1 inch to your height, it's just not going to happen. You can't grow any taller. He says, you're concerned about some things you have no control over, but God does. Verse 28, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God shall clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith? There's a question mark there. It's not a statement. It's a question mark. Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? After all these things do the Gentiles seek, for their heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. So what's the answer? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's only 2 days in every week you cannot have some type of control over, yesterday and tomorrow. Sufficient unto today, Wednesday. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. This is the day you need to put God first. Now, when you wake up tomorrow by his grace, that's the day you put God first. You can't change yesterday. And you may think you control tomorrow, and you don't. You may have some things on the calendar, and I hope they work out for you. But they may not work out for you as well. You don't hold tomorrow. God does. But all these questions that he's asking them, he's not asked because he doesn't know the question. He's the Son of God. He knows the answer. He's asking them that he might address what's already on their thoughts and on their mind. Well, Brother Barnes, you don't understand what I'm going through. You're absolutely right. I don't understand what you're going through. But I do know who does. You don't know what we're facing tomorrow. You're absolutely right. And I would not try to minimize, if it's a grievance on your part, what you may face tomorrow, what you may face at this present hour or next week, what may be coming up on the calendar that is concerning to you. I'm not trying to belittle that or besmirch that, but bless, is there a God in heaven, and can he take control, and can he provide? Yes or no? God has not given us the spirit of fear. Well, we've been without.
Yes, sir.
And it's probably for your good. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. We've been in a place where the cupboard's been bare, and we've had little mouths to feed. I know what it is to do without and to be without. I don't know what it is to quit on God by his grace. I don't know what it is to say, God, I'm going to throw in the Bible and throw in church and throw in the religious element of my existence and throw in everything. I don't want nothing to do. I don't know what that is yet. By God's grace and God's grace alone, I'll give him the glory. But bless God, there's just too many that are quitting because they're afraid of the unknown. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live day to day. And I'm messing up that song, but bless God, you know, we haven't sung all the goodness out of the hymn books yet. We sing them to bolster our faith, to encourage one another. But let's live in such a way that we're not going to be afraid of every little thing. And I'm telling you, I told my church, Sunday or last Sunday, I forget which, everything has a shelf life. This whole pandemic thing, it's going to fizzle and pop. It's like a helium balloon. Sure, it goes up, but eventually it's going to come down. Then we're going to be on to the next thing. Now, if all you're going to do is live like a gerbil on a wheel in a cage, always chasing what's coming down the road, you're going to be one tired gerbil. It has a shelf life. It's not going to last. It has an expiration date. And then they've got to come out with the next parade and toot their horns and wave their flags. And then after, it's be the next one. Look, I've seen it in religious I mean, it's really heightened in politics right now, but I've seen it in religious times, you know, just moral majority. Now, I know you don't remember that. I mean, I'm going back to the late 70s, 80s, and stuff like that. But, you know, I've lived long enough to see this stuff. You know, the moral majority, everybody's supposed to jump on board. I didn't. Well, you need to come on board, you know, and all these things. Check your doctrine at the door. I check my doctrine by the book. And it doesn't say anything about checking it at the door. So that came and went, and then the next one came and went, and the next one came and went. Bless God. What's wrong with being a steady Eddie? Living without fear. And fear will trip you up every time.
Yes, sir.
Now let me make a distinction here in verse number 7. You know, if you swing that pendulum too far either way, it's wrong. If you go down the road, there's a ditch on the left and a ditch on the right. If you go into a ditch, you're still off the road. It doesn't matter if you went too far to the left or too far to the right. So I don't want to go too far either direction here. In verse number 7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, I want to make a distinction here between a preserving fear and a paralyzing fear. I don't want the pendulum to swing too far one way or the other. I think it's good to have what I would call a preserving fear. In other words, I don't play in traffic. Well, I do, but that's a different scenario. But I fear lightning. Let's go back there. So stay out of my preaching. I fear lightning. Now, I'm not saying I've got a phobia, where if there's a clap of thunder and a streak of lightning, Barbie has to look for me underneath the bed. Come out from underneath there. You know, I don't have a phobia of lightning. But I have been out on a lake before in an aluminum rowboat, and I've seen the darkening clouds approach at the other end of the lake, and I've seen the flashes, and I count the seconds, you know, 1001, 1002, 1003, because I want to see if it's coming nearer or if it's just passing off. And if it's coming nearer, I'm getting off the lake, amen. I'm finding the nearest shore. I'm not trying to make it back to the boat launch. I just want to get back to the shore to stand underneath a tall tree. And hopefully lightning doesn't hit that tall tree, amen. That's not a paralyzing fear. That's a preserving fear. We all have a preserving fear. And it's healthy. And I believe that's of God. There's certain things that we do that, you know, preserve our health, our ability, our understanding. But there's a paralyzing fear. Bite your fingernails all the time because you're living in torment, and just you're afraid of what tomorrow is. You're afraid of your neighbor to the left. And one thing this thing has happened, we're afraid of everybody. 6 feet, 6 feet. You know, I want some people to stay 6 feet away after it's all over. Amen. Socially, you know, mentally, physically, just stay away from me. I'm not a people person to start with. I don't know why God ever put me in the ministry. You know, I go into some place and it's too people-y. I'll turn around and leave. You know, it's too people-y in there. And just, but we are so afraid of everything today. That's paralyzing us. If you ever stop and say, well, I'm not going to give out a tract because they might catch COVID-19 if I give them a tract. That's paralyzing fear. Now, if you're that afraid, leave it somewhere where they're going to have to find it anyways. Amen. I don't know. Put it in the cereal box or something. But there's a difference between rational fear and irrational fear. Preserving fear and paralyzing fear. In Psalms 56, we'll go there and then we'll be out of time. Because I know you're going to be out of here on the hour. Psalms 56, and I get even more boring after that, so it's good for all of us. Psalms 56. I think it's good to talk to yourself. I think it's good to talk to yourself. Now, I wouldn't do it in public, per se, but I think it's good to have a conversation with yourself once in a while. David talked to himself. David interrupted his prayer to God to talk to David. In Psalms 56, Let me bear this out, verse number one. Be merciful unto me, O God. Who's he talking to? He's talking to God. For man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high. Who's he talking to? He's talking to God. He's talking to the sovereign God of the universe. Who do you talk to when you pray? Talk to God, amen. But wait a minute, there's a shift in the next verse. In the next two verses, he's not talking to God, he's talking to David. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. He's talking to God, but in verse 4, in God I will praise his word, in God I put my trust, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. He's talking to himself. He's talking to God, but he's also talking to himself. If you're afraid, you need to have a conversation with yourself. Buck up. You ever heard that?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
My father did not read Dr. Spock. He didn't read the book by James Dobson on how to build self-esteem. He didn't learn time out. Unless it was time out picking rocks out of the garden or time out milking the cows or cleaning the barn. He didn't know about sitting young children in a corner and making them be quiet and having to quiet. He didn't read any of that. But I did hear the words, when you got an owie or a boo-boo or something like that, he looked at it and just buck up. Buck up! I'll let you know when you're hurt. You know, then keep going. You know, if you're going to make it as a Christian, you're going to have to get some rhino skin. I don't know where they sell it today, but you're going to have to get some alligator skin, some rhino skin. You're going to have to toughen up. If I can put it in a simplistic term, you need to buck up.
Yeah.
Now, you don't need to hear me say that. You need to hear you say that.
Hey.
When these little whisper mills and rumor mills start, you know, relatives or co-workers or whatever, and they're maligning your church. Oh, you go to that church. Every church I've ever pastored has been that church. Doesn't matter what the name says on the sign. It's been down there on the island. You know, people here, oh, you go to that church. I mean, it has started already. It's just generational, I guess. I don't know. But people malign you. People say things. You just have to buck up. God has not given you the spirit of fear. You need to talk to God. That's your daily devotional time, but you also need to talk to yourself. All right, let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'll close with just a couple, three quick things. What should we do, preacher? Let me just get this message wrapped up. Well, number one, you ought to be prayerful. Verse 3, I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. We need to be praying people. We need to be praying people for each other. I don't know if you have a church directory. I assume maybe you do. But that makes a wonderful prayer list. That way you can leave off not leave off anybody, but go down through the list there. Or you can pray, you know, as I have often done. You know, I know where everybody sits in my particular church now. And when I pastored here for 20 years, I knew where everybody sat. We're creatures of habit. You always sit in the same spot. You know, if somebody's sitting in your spot and you come in as a visitor, I know you always say, move over! You know, I've heard it so many times now, but it's like, whatever works for you, pray for one another. And one of the prayers are that we shouldn't get the spirit of fear. Second thing, be faithful. Verse number 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. I love to see generations in a church. Two, three generations. I love to see that. That's God's design. But we need to be faithful. Be praying, be faithful. The first two chapters deal with being faithful in work. The last two chapters deal with being faithful in the word. The last thing here tonight, be mindful. Verse number 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. We need to be remembering our service for God. Everyone here has talents. Everyone here has abilities. Everybody here, if you're saved, you have a spiritual gift listed in Romans chapter 12 and other places. I mean, read through there. You don't get to pick. The Holy Ghost picks it for you, amen. Everybody's different. And yet we're all the same in that we have a spiritual gift. But this church needs your talents, your abilities, your spiritual gifts. Be faithful in using that as well. I say a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed here tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God. Lord, help us to live above the noise and the din of this old world. May our allegiance be to our sovereign on high. Father, may we say we will not fear what man can do unto me. Father, our days are measured. Our breath is in the palm of your hand. Father, I pray that we would be, I pray that we would be a people who are not fearful other than fear in our God. Lord, help us to live in such a way that we are distinctively Christian, without arrogance, without bravado, but Lord, humble servants of the Most High God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you tonight.